Welcome to True Wisdom. This is a podcast by Andrew and I, where we talk about the Word of God, all in preparation to get us and you, our listeners, closer to God. Welcome, Andrew.
Welcome, Robert.
And as always, we welcome those who are listening, whom we refer to as guests, who join us on this journey of Bible study. So, Andrew, what is the best way to spend the Sabbath? We are Sabbath keepers. What is the best way? What is the biblical way, the short version, to spend the Sabbath?
It is good to do good on the Sabbath, Jesus said. We come together, typically on the Sabbath, we come together in fellowship and worship with fellow believers. And that, you know, that's going to consume a portion of the time. And then there are lots of other things that can be done that are beneficial to others, not necessarily in a physical labor kind of way necessarily. But for instance, we do nursing home visits on Sabbath afternoon. We have gone out into the community and given out tracts. We have gone out into the community and done evangelism or Bible studies. We have done large-scale fellowship Bible studies with believers. So there are a lot of ways in which you can do really cool things on the Sabbath. I think the biggest thing is we should keep and maintain the sanctity of the Sabbath. That's it. Anything that you can do that maintains the sanctity of the Sabbath, or we've gone to parks, and when I talk about parks, like national forests or, you know, something of that sort, botanical gardens and places like that, where you can observe nature and you know, hiking or something in nature, again, that puts you in the frame of mind of God and his creative power, or in service to other people on behalf of God. Those are all suggestions, things that can be done. And that's not an exhaustive list.
Got it. All right. Why don't you go ahead and pray? We thank you for that answer. Go ahead and pray, and we will get started on this devotion.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the privilege of coming together and worshiping you through study. We ask that you'll grant unto us wisdom and understanding. We pray that you will forgive us of our sins and prepare our hearts that we will be able to present a message effectively through your word, through the stories found in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What is our topic for today?
I think we should continue with David and the situation with David's lie. This would be part two. David's lies. It was plural. David's lies, part two. We're going to 1 Samuel chapter 22, starting in verse 1.
All right. And it starts out saying, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men.
Mm-hmm.
And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab. And he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, you know what's interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. David is not yet 30 years old.
Right.
David is not yet 30 years old. And this guy has had such an impact in the king's court in the short time that he was there. Because remember, he killed Goliath when he was about 17, right? And, you know, he's not yet 30. And he has sway and influence, and people know him in other kingdoms, that he can go before the king of Moab and ask a favor like that.
Right. Okay.
Let no man despise your youth. That's what we want to say to our young people.
Indeed, a natural born leader.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth.
Okay. Now we're going to come to the next half of the story that's connected to what we had started the last time.
All right.
Back in Nob.
When Saul heard that David was discovered and that the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? That all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, that there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servants against me to lie in wait as at this day?
Okay. So he's become aware of the fact that Jonathan helped David escaped the wrath of Saul, and now he understands this piece of the puzzle, and he's like, oh, have you all been bribed? Are you all waiting for gifts from David? That's why nobody's saying anything to me.
Yeah.
He's
questioning their loyalty.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He's shaming them into something. But now look who speaks up.
Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse come into Nob to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine.
Mm.
Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob. And they came all along to the king, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hath inquired of God for him, that he should rise up against me to lie in wait as at that day?
Now, David is obviously not lying in wait for anyone.
He's running for his life.
Correct. He is running for his life. And he's been running since before Samuel died.
Right. So verse 14. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of this, less or more. And the king said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house.
Now, remember we did a thing years ago now. Remember we did one early on when Saul threatened the life of Jonathan in the matter of the oath that was taken when Jonathan was already busy fighting?
Right.
And he threatened the life of his son with almost the same words, thou shalt surely die.
Mm-hmm.
And all Israel was like, whoa.
Jonathan was much beloved.
Wasn't just beloved. The people, listen, God's people have backslidden a lot, and a lot of times they've been in a bad place. But the people were never so dumb as to fail to recognize when God had delivered them. And they were like, shall Jonathan die, whom God has used for our deliverance, as this day? Nah. No. Not happening.
It's such a shame there was nobody there in this case.
Yeah, that's what the problem is, because the people that are surrounding him are not the right people. And Jonathan is clearly not here based on the way he's been speaking of Jonathan. So there's no check and balance to what is here. But even though, let's look at it, because it's not exactly the way you just suggested it.
Mm. All right. Verse 17, and the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord.
Okay. Now, this group isn't bold enough to verbally challenge him, but they're not about to obey that instruction.
Mm.
Especially when he said it point blank, turn and slay the priest of the Lord.
Yeah, I know. That stuck out to me.
If there's anything, did he fail marketing? Like, if you're trying to get people to do a really heinous activity, you might want to frame it a little better, more favorably to you.
But the problem was that Saul at this point was on the edge of insanity. He did not comprehend or even just call himself up or just think through what he was doing.
Well, think about this. You know, it's so funny because I was having a discussion with someone, not about this specific story, but we were talking about in scripture how so many things are there that we don't realize pertain to now because we've bought into the narrative to some degree that, the Bible's old-fashioned or whatever, this is the 21st century, you know, that you have to find things that are relevant. What is it about Saul's character that you know, thinking about Saul and all the stories we've done of him and all the things you know about him, what is the word that you would use to describe that guy that is a common word that we use these days to describe people who have the kind of craziness that he has going on?
Oh, he's a narcissist.
There you go.
No, it's everything is about him. Every single thing is about him. Because it's...
Everything is about him.
Are you guys all paid off so that y'all won't tell me the truth? Now, you may say, yeah. Oh, but you said them a bunch of times. Yes, but the subject is you. The subject is me. You're not telling me the truth. Is there anyone here on my side? Is no one here for me? Is everyone against me? He was a narcissist, absolute narcissist.
Absolute.
And so he orders people to do things that he wouldn't himself do.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still keeping his hands clean while he makes everyone else around him dirty. And the sad part is the people who do align himself with that, you know, then they're easy to control. They're easy to tell, hey, I'm going to follow him because for some reason they see some either they see affinity with that mindset, or they're looking to rise within the ranks of that person.
Right.
Okay. Right, so at verse 18, and the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew on that day 80 persons that did wear a linen ephod.
Mm.
85 people?
85 people. Now, obviously, and we're going to point this out because we're in a Bible study, Doeg did not kill 85 people by himself.
Oh,
We have
that's not,
read
yeah.
plenty of times where the priests were valiant men. Okay, so Doeg is not defeating 85 people by himself, but Doeg has people because he's in charge of all of the king's herdsmen. So it's not like he has nobody. Okay, but it goes beyond that. Now, before you read what you're going to read, I want you to remember that King Saul is the guy that was told to destroy the Amalekites in a very specific way and would not do it.
All right, so we're on to verse 19. And the story unfortunately gets a little worse.
A little?
And Nob, the city of the priest, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen, and asses, and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abithar, escaped and fled after David. And Abithar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abithar, I knew it that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of my father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard.
This shows us a significant difference between David and Saul, because when you look at the lives of David and Saul, you are inclined to say, but hold on now, David has done some worse stuff than Saul. Right?
Right.
This killing all of the priests of the house of Nob, yeah, no, that puts Saul clearly over the top. But David's hands are not clean. David, the matter of Bathsheba, the numbering of the people, the running around and lying on several occasions, he has some issues. But as soon as David is brought, as soon as things are brought to David's face, he can acknowledge. David flat out tells Abiathar, that's on me, because when I was there with your father and I saw Doeg there, I knew this thing wasn't going to go well. And now I am responsible because of what I did. It led to the death of all the persons of thy father's house.
Right. I don't see the thing is, and I know he's responsible because it's a lie he told, but.
Right. He's responsible differently from the way Saul is.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. No. And this is the thing that we have to understand in scripture. Blame and responsibility is not an all or nothing affair.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you were driving drunk and another guy was high on cocaine and you're all going to an accident, you can't be like, oh, well, he had cocaine, so that's now it's not my problem.
Right,
no.
Right.
No. You may have been impaired less than him. You may end up being responsible for less than he's responsible, but you can't get away with zero responsibility because someone was worse.
Yeah,
or
you're
more
not
responsible.
Absolved, yes. Yes.
No. You're not absolved. So in this case, David's actions put Abimelech in a place where he was not prepared to deal with what was going on. And so that led to him being disadvantaged, right? That led to him being disadvantaged. But Saul, especially when he told Saul, listen, he comes right to Saul when Saul summons him and his family, and he explained, I did not know. First of all, I did not inquire of the Lord for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doeg thinks I did for whatever reason. That's his business. I did not inquire of the Lord for him. I did give him this other stuff because I know that he's part of your household and he's done this other stuff, but I did not know what was going on, right? Instead of accepting that, the narcissism comes into play, and it's like, oh, because this guy is against me and didn't tell me, hey, David was here, then I'm going to assume that he is against me and conspiring against me. And so he kills him, and then not only kills him, but he kills his entire household, including children and suckling, like down to infants and animals, which he did not do to the Amalekites.
When he was supposed to. Yeah.
God gave him that explicit instruction, and he did not do it against God's enemies, but instead he did it to God's people on the basis of the word of an Edomite. Now, Edom is part of the family too. Go down a little far, it's Esau's children. Mm-hmm. But if you, when you study the scriptures, you find out that the children of Edom are not in a good place. In fact, there is a position where the children of Israel, where the children of Edom get into long-term problems with God because they helped other enemies of God's people to find God's people when they were hiding. And on account of that, they get a permanent cursing.
Yes.
Because they were closer, right? Because they're brothers with Israel, right? Jacob, Esau. They're brothers with Israel. You ran out your brother to the heathen, and you think we're just going to ignore that?
Right.
No. Right? That's not good. You can't lose, but feel, and I know it's multiple generations, right? We're not talking about last week, Jacob and Esau. But still, the idea that you have, the idea that you'd be that far away, I mean, we think of it today. Think about it today. We look at crimes that are done within an ethnic group differently than crimes done across ethnic groups.
Yes.
And those people may not be related for thousands of years.
It just carries something more.
Yes, because brotherhood is supposed to represent something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, brotherhood is so important that the Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, right? That meaning transcends brotherhood, which still leaves brotherhood on a pedestal. It just puts a strong friendship on a better pedestal. Yeah, we need to understand that brotherhood is a significant privilege and responsibility. And here it is that Saul could not do what God had asked him to do on God's behalf, but was willing to do that same thing to God's people on his own behalf.
Right.
And he didn't catch it when the first group says, yeah, no, we can't do that. You do what you want to me, but I'm not doing that to the priest of God.
Yeah, because he wouldn't hold himself up for any reason.
Yes.
His thing was, I'm going to, this is what I want to do, and this is what y'all need to do for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'll go ahead and pray us out.
Okay.
Dear Lord, we are told time and time again to look to you and not to ourselves. And we pray for this, that we will learn this lesson. And once we find ourselves in a place where we're willing to put our hands to strike your people, that we would stop ourselves because we know we have gone too far. Please be with us and be with those who are listening and help them to get this lesson and apply it. Amen.
Amen.
Is this something you cover in your podcast?
I have not yet, but it is on the list.
And the name of that podcast is?
The name of the podcast is Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. It's found at BibleStudy.ASDZone.com, and it can be heard on all the podcast platforms, all the major podcast platforms. Just a note, Google Podcast is going to be going away, and podcasts will be rolled into YouTube at that time. That this is happening at the beginning of April. So we have just like two more months, or a month and a bit. So Google Podcast will not be an individual app. It's going to be part of the YouTube family. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but hey, that might be helpful to us because a lot of people use YouTube already.
Yeah. Okay. So if you'd like to reach us, you could reach us through our podcast, truewisdom.info. Oh, that's our website, truewisdom.info. You can also get all previous messages or podcasts at truewisdom.buzzsprout.com. And if you would like to connect to us over email, you can send us an email at info or questions at truewisdom.info. We look forward to hearing from you. And we thank you for listening, and we pray you will be blessed.